United States of Horror
may contain some graphic
or explicit content.
Listener discretion is advised. I think we're good.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
You're not going to zoom in and out?
Do we have the right state today?
I hope we do, Kaylee.
I hope so too.
I had to fact check you, and that's sad. I'm like, I think we did the story already. You're like, I don't think so.
No,
Rick.
I was like, no, it just sounds a lot like the other one.
I'm like, well, I think it is the same one. And I started saying the same exact story, and she's like, how'd you know that? I'm like, I pay attention once in a while.
I was like, no. No, it's not the same.
But here we are.
We tried to record Kentucky again.
Kentucky.
That was the first time we've ever actually done that.
Yeah, have the same exact notes from last time, same exact people, everything. And
I don't understand how we didn't notice until we were like 15 minutes into recording.
Yeah, that was kind of sad.
Yeah.
Anyway, hi Kaylee.
Hi Jeffrey.
And we are
the United States of Horror.
How's everyone doing?
We're doing pretty peachy.
Are you speaking for them, Kaylee?
No, I'm speaking for us.
Okay, I guess I'm all right.
I'm all right.
You know, not left. I'm right.
Can I tell them?
Tell them what? Later?
Later?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, we'll tell you at the end. We'll tell you a special surprise.
Oh, no.
Secret.
Oh, no. It's interesting, guys.
Interesting.
Interesting indeed. So, if you don't know where we're going, just look at the title.
We don't know where we're going.
I know where we're going.
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see.
That was pretty cute.
That was pretty cute?
Meh.
Are you from Tennessee? Because you look like a dumb doorknob. I don't know. Making fun of ugly people.
Wow, we're ugly people. That's rude.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm making fun of myself.
I'm kidding.
Okay, everyone, so let's get on track, actually. We're in Tennessee this week.
Yes, and just an FYI, next week is our Camp Horror Campfire Stories.
So that means something awesome is going to happen.
We have a really exciting episode for you guys, and
We
have a special guest. Someone who both of us have been on their podcast before, together and separate. So
can't wait to let everyone know.
Yes.
Our topic next week.
You're going to love it, I think.
I hope so. If not, get over yourself.
You know what? I know they're going to love it.
I actually think they will.
I'm going to just come out and say it.
You're going to support us forever now. Take care of me.
Okay, maybe not anymore.
So, I want to go first, though, Tennessee.
Okay, you want to just get her done?
Gentlemen first. Okay.
Okay.
I agree. So the first thing I have is the White Screamer.
Oh, that actually sounds really scary.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. So
in White Bluff, Tennessee, you'll find the locals whispering about the White Screamer. Some claim to have seen the hulking white creature, while others merely lock their deadbolts at night. Legend has it that an old couple lived in the woods and hid their terrifying, ugly child in the basement.
Sounds funny. Like childhood.
It sounds like my life. When it grew old enough, it escaped, killing the parents and streaking into the woods.
Ooh, a nigger! I'm like a family guy over there with that naked dip guy.
I didn't know you're from Tennessee.
I can be if you want. it streaked into the woods, only able to scream with abandon in the chill of the night. Wait.
What?
Only able to scream. I don't know how I did that wrong. I think I forgot a couple of the sentences I was going to look at, and I think I skipped a paragraph. So, pretty much,
With abandon,
in the chill of night, supposedly pets and cattle have fallen prey to the white being. So they think it's some sort of like weird banshee looking thing, but it's the shape of a child.
That's terrifying.
And it eats livestock.
Livestock.
So it's like an El Chupacabra, but white.
El Chupacabra, but white. The White Screamer or whatever.
Imagine a drunk white redneck eating stuff all day. That's Tennessee right there for you.
I can't stop yawning.
Stop yawning.
I'm sorry. It's not your stories. It's just...
You know who I miss?
Who?
Yanni. No one else gets that good.
Aww.
See, my other little story. The Signal Man. The Signal Man. You may have heard of the Headless Train Conductor before.
No.
No?
Who's that? Why didn't you tell a story about him?
No, it's okay. But Chapel Hill is known for its ghostly lights that run along the town railroad tracks and a headless conductor that wanders them endlessly, forever trying to signal a train that will never come. So it's just a guy without a head, you know, a ghost waving his lantern going, oh my hell! Except he can't talk. He's like, I'm keeping that in.
You're keeping that in.
Yeah.
Hearing, assuming you'll be the one editing.
I probably will be.
Rude.
No, you're rude. No. So, Headless Train Conductor, Chapel Hill. That sounds pretty cool, huh?
Very interesting.
So, that's all I have. Nice and short for you guys. Please don't hate me.
Only four minutes. Thanks. Now I have, like, an hour, basically, to fill by myself.
No. We'll make this one a short one for them.
Okay. But anyway, I also wanted to point out the fact that our Patreon is getting some really fun, interesting episodes coming up here pretty soon. We have been putting bonus content on there, including two ghost hunting adventures that we went on in Arizona. We went to two separate haunted hotels and did episodes from our haunted rooms. So those are up. And
it's exciting, guys. Did we catch a ghost? Maybe we did. Maybe we didn't.
Who knows? I think we did. Jeffrey's a little bit more skeptical than I am.
You guys decide.
But yeah, you have to go on there to find out.
And it's awesome. You get episodes earlier if you subscribe to the Patreon.
Yes.
And, you know, get more episodes. So just an option for you guys.
Also, I just wanted to say on here, because I know we did not mention on the podcast, that we're selling masks currently. And this will be just for a limited time only. We only have a select number left, and you can get them in black or white. They're just a simple design. You can go on our Facebook or our Instagram to see the design. They are $15, and every additional one that you buy, so if you purchase more than one, the second one, third one, fourth one, those will be just $10. So the first one's $15, the rest are $10 after that.
So you can buy three for $35.
Yeah. And it's free shipping within the United States.
Which is a pretty good deal, guys. You should check it out.
Yeah.
We also might have shirts, hats, tumblers.
Just keep an eye out.
Keep an eye out.
We usually don't plug merch and do all that, so I wanted to.
Buy my stuff so I don't have to work ever.
You don't have to buy anything, but it would help us get better equipment. We're trying to set up a better recording situation so that our content sounds just a little bit better. And eventually we'd like to work towards getting visual as well as audio, and we just need a better running computer to do so. So that's kind of something that we'll
look at.
It's something that we're looking into.
Yes. So take care of me. Be my sugar daddy, mama, grandpa, grandma's, everything. Or I can quit my job and just do this full time.
Oh my gosh.
That way I can make you guys quality content from stealing from Wikipedia.
And we're not so tired from working.
At least make it where Kaylee cannot work anymore. That way she can take care of everyone.
I want to be a stay-at-home cat mom.
Or a cat person? I don't know.
Crazy cat lady?
That's okay. Just yell at everyone, leave my cat alone.
Get off my lawn.
Okay, we're getting off track. Anyway, Tennessee.
So Tennessee. So I have an interesting story.
Okay.
I always say, well, it's something a little different. It still involves, you know, really terrible things and horrible people. So it's not all that different. But today I'm talking about Beulah George, Georgia Tan. She was an American child trafficker who operated the Tennessee Children's Home Society, an adoption agency in Memphis, Tennessee. So
that's a sensitive topic right now.
Yeah. It's so very interesting. It's very sad. And we'll get into kind of the details of what happened. I don't know what happened there.
Well, hopefully she either ends up in jail or shot or Sorry, I cannot assume that.
She's deceased, but thank goodness. Way to spoil it, Jeffrey.
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
That's one of my pet peeves. Kids and child trafficking.
You mess with kids, you're basically like...
Murdering? Fine. Mess with kids, you dead. You're going to die.
So, I'll just jump right into it like I usually do, and we'll just go through the details. I'm not sure how long it'll take. Shouldn't take too long, but... So, it might be a shorter episode this time, but that's okay.
That's okay. And instead, enjoy a Tennessee whiskey for Tennessee. And enjoy your night, which is a crazy time right
Which
now.
Which one's a Tennessee whiskey? Is that Jack Daniel's?
I think so, actually. I don't know. I was just saying that because...
I don't know.
Tennessee whiskey. Why not?
Why not?
Why not? I'm just trying to make a joke.
That's I don't know.
I'm like, you should drink... As a joke, but right now during this time, I think we have a serious thing we need. I think everyone needs a shot.
Just take a shot. Or, you know, cry a little bit like I do.
Like I do. We all cry.
So come on, rest and black my eyes.
No. I don't want us to lose our fans by singing emo songs.
Sorry, we're emo. If you didn't know, we're emo. I'm not going to put that in there.
Actually. Yeah, you are. Are we? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Our group is I don't know, never mind.
I'm so tired.
What shall our names be, guys? The Horror Fanatics or the, I don't know, help us create a good nickname for us.
I know.
Leave it down in the comments. It's not YouTube.
I was thinking like Peeps and Creeps. Creepy peepers. I'm sorry, I don't.
Meownsters. Like monsters, but meownsters.
Not everybody likes cats, though.
Yeah, they will.
You better, but, like, not everybody does.
It's a perfect thing to call us.
Okay. So Tan used the unlicensed home as a front for her black market baby adoption scheme from the 1920s until a state investigation into numerous instances of adoption fraud began being perpetuated by her closed the institute in 1950. So we'll get into the details, but essentially she was child trafficking. So
of course she was.
Tan did end up dying of cancer before investigations made its findings public.
Good. I mean, oops, no. I mean, yeah, good. Deserves it.
Tan's custom of placing children with influential members of society normalized adoption in America, and many of her adoption practices, often designed to hide the origin of her adoptees, became standard practice. So it's sad because she ended up setting the pace for a lot of different things, and we'll definitely dive into that also. So I'm going to give you a little bit about Miss Georgia Tan. She was born on July 18th of 1891.
So almost my birthday.
Almost your birthday.
Almost. Nice try, Georgia.
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 And
Georgia.
She was born in Philadelphia, Mississippi, which if you haven't listened to our Mississippi episode, you're missing out.
Who's Mississippi?
Who's Ippy, and why do we miss her?
Who's Ippy? Was that funny?
Was that funny?
Who's yeah. Ippy?
Yes.
Okay, I'll
stop. And we did that episode with Monty. So
from Pines to the Round Table. Make sure to check him out.
Yes.
Like, subscribe.
And go listen to that episode. So she was born to George Clark Tan and Beulah Yates. She was older than her brother, Rob Roy Tan, by 3 years. Beulah was a school teacher during a time when it was uncommon for women to work outside of the home. Her father, Judge George Tan, reportedly had a domineering personality. He also had aspirations of his daughter becoming a concert pianist, and beginning at the age of 5, he put her in piano lessons that continued into adulthood.
Oh, so you said pianist. I thought you said she likes to pee and stuff. I'm joking, guys. I actually knew what that was. I'm just trying to be funny. I'll stop. Keep going.
Thank you. You're ridiculous.
Does it hurt when you pee in us? I don't know.
Anyway, she was living during a time where it was difficult to establish yourself as a woman in any sort of career. There are very specific roles that women fell into, and you know, it was interesting that she was kind of stepping up and actually doing a little bit more than you know, the social norm, I guess.
Yes.
So, anyway, Judge Tan would sometimes bring abandoned or neglected.
Neglected. Was that a chainsaw?
Judge Tan would sometimes bring abandoned or neglected children with him, remarking that he would need to need a minister, school teacher, and a doctor to figure out what to do with the children. Tan attended Martha Washington College in Abingdon, Virginia, graduating with a degree in music in 1913, and took a course in social work at Columbia University in New York for 2 summers. However, she despised playing piano and instead desired to become a lawyer as her father had been, which is also very interesting.
That is interesting.
So under his tutelage, she read the law and passed her state bar exam in Mississippi. However, her father did not want her to practice law because it was unusual for women. Again, we're seeing that kind of resistance to women stepping up and actually...
Damn it, Georgia, I just want you to play the piano. Stop doing all this cool stuff.
I know.
How dare you try to help people and be a lawyer and, you know, teacher and everything else.
It's really interesting because we look into the history of these people, not really to excuse their behavior, but to me it's fascinating seeing the different aspects of their life that potentially played into how they
became or transformed into that role.
So I can understand the pressures of, you know, having expectations and, you know,
not living up to your father's standard while trying to make
it. Trying to fit into a cookie cutter mold that you just don't fit into.
That's why you just smash it with a hammer.
Instead of stealing children, but.
Yeah.
So having no apparent desire to get married or have children, she availed herself of one of the few careers available to unmarried women at the time, social work. Upon graduation, she briefly worked in Texas as a social worker, but quit after a short time. Tan found employment at the Mississippi Children's Home Society, working as the receiving director at the Kate McWillie Powers Receiving Home for Children. In 1922, Tan adopted an infant. She named her June.
June, not July?
No, June.
No lie, July? June, okay.
A daughter of a family friend named Anne Atwood also worked at the home as a house mother. Anne was 8 years her junior. It's unclear when they became a couple, but when Tan was terminated because of her questionable child placing methods in 1942, she moved to Memphis, Tennessee with June Atwood and Atwood's infant son, Jack.
She jacked those kids up.
Atwood had recently given birth to a son out of wedlock and around this time appended Hollinsworth to her name, likely to give the impression that she had actually been widowed. While the cohabitation of two financially independent women, referred to as Boston marriages, had once been socially acceptable, such arrangements had begun to be viewed as suspiciously homosexual. So Tan and Atwood hid the true nature of their relationship. So that's also something to definitely play into the whole...
Not the typical norm back in the days.
Well, yeah, and just the lack of control over her life because there were things that she wanted to achieve or that she wanted and, you know, different things. So different aspects of... She has people on all sides kind of holding her back or pressing her down, and she's not able to achieve any of her goals. Well, some of the major things due to that. So, I guess those pressure points.
Pressure coming down.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. Things that make her want to kill people or do bad things. That's what I'm trying to say. So, what we're here for is the Tennessee Children's Home Society and what happened there. So we're going to go ahead and just jump into that. In Memphis, Tan was hired as the executive secretary at the Shelby County branch of the Tennessee Children's Home Society. Its offices were located on the fifth floor of the Goodwin Building downtown. The society was the largest in the state and had branches in Jackson, Knoxville, and Chattanooga. Sorry. Tan used aggressive tactics to eventually take over the organization, and in 1924, Tan began trafficking children. So while Tennessee law permitted agencies to place children with appropriate applicants, in an effort to ban the selling of children, agencies could charge only for their services. So they were trying to make it to where it's not really the child for sale, but
yeah,
the child is for sale when it comes down to it. So in keeping with the law, the society charged about $7 for adoption within Tennessee. So you could go down and get yourself a kid for $7.
And then I could trade you 3 kids for a pack of bubble gum and Slim Jim.
Yeah, perfect.
Perfect example.
So, however, Tan also arranged for out-of-state private adoptions where she charged a premium. As many as 80% of these adoptions were to parents in New York, and California.
Of course.
Yes.
All them rich people back then.
Yeah. Records indicate that between 1940 and 1950, the agency placed 3,000 children in just those 2 states. That's a lot of kids.
That is a lot of kids.
3,000 kids in 10 years.
For like one organization or group.
So I don't know if people were just having like kids out the wazoo and like just giving them up. Or...
Well, back then, remember they used to have like 7 kids, 8 kids?
Well, yeah.
So they're like, oh, we lost one on the train. Oh, we'll make another one. And that one's like, what do I do? And like, we'll take care of you. New York. And throw them. Yeet them.
Yeet them to New York.
Yeet. Yeet little Timmy for Slim Jim.
Oh my gosh. So Alma Walton and Regina Warner both worked for Tan and made a trip every 3 weeks with 4 to 6 babies in tow. Walton to California. Wow. I'm having a hard time speaking. And Warner to New York.
Not Old York?
No, New York.
Okay.
Not Old York.
How about medium age York?
Terrible.
No. Terrible
no,
joke?
Okay. No. Okay. They would rent hotel rooms where they would meet with prospective adoptive parents, most of whom were wealthy. Each couple would pay $700 in a check made out to Georgia Tan. Additionally, Tan might charge prospective parents for background checks she never pursued, air travel costs at exorbitant rates, and adoptive paperwork at 5 times the actual cost. The state of Tennessee itself was contributing to $61,000 a year to the agency, with 31% of that money going towards the Memphis branch. Profits were kept in a secret bank account under a false corporation name at the time. So she was being real shady.
Yeah, and everyone was like, people, we don't care.
It took a long, like way too long for people to catch on to this.
It probably was like... What probably happens, they probably picked the wrong child by accident, and like, that's my child, you can't sell my child, and then that's probably when they got involved. Probably like some senator or something.
There's some interesting things that happen.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So adoptions in states such as Mississippi, Arkansas, and Missouri could be arranged for $750. It's alleged that she pocketed 80 to 90% of the fees from these adoptions for her own personal use. So, she wasn't even trying to, like, turn that around and put it back. No, she was keeping it. She also failed to report the income to either the society's board or the International Revenue Service, IRS. So, that was all tax-free. She was not paying taxes on that.
And that's where you probably messed up.
Probably.
I mean, I hope so. Like, you IRS going through, hey, she sold 3,000 kids. Well, how much money does she have in her bank account? Just a million.
A million.
Back then.
Yeah. In a 1979 interview with the Los Angeles Times, Tennessee's special prosecutor Robert Taylor reported that 1,200 children were adopted out of the home between 1944 and 1950, but only a few of them remained with Tennessee families. So, again, that's 1,200 in 6 years. That's a lot of children.
Mm-hmm.
Notable personalities who used Tan's services included actress Joan Crawford. She got twin daughters Kathy and Cynthia, who were adopted through the agency, while daughter Christina Crawford and son Christopher were adopted through other agencies. And I'm pretty sure there's a movie about Joan Crawford and her kids.
I think that sounds really familiar. I think
isn't actually, like Mommy Dearest or something like
something
that?
Something like that, yeah. Actually,
because she ended up being like not the greatest mom.
Yeah, and how everyone was adopted and how everything was just messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So June Allison and husband Dick Powell also used the Memphis-based home for adopting children, as did the adoptive parents of professional wrestler Ric Flair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very interesting. New York Governor Herbert Lehman, who signed a law sealing birth certificates from New York adoptees in 1935, also adopted a child through the agency. So she was adopting out children to very well-known names.
Yeah, starting to get up there more.
Yeah. Tan used a variety of methods to procure children through pressure tactics, threats of legal action, and other ways she would dupe or coerce birth parents, mostly poor single mothers, to turn their children over to her custody often under false pretenses. Alma Simple, one of Tan's victims, described her as a stern-looking woman with close-cropped gray hair, round wireless glasses, and an air of utter authority. And sometimes it's really hard. People who might not necessarily have any authority over you, like, there's some people at work that have, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes there's just... It's really hard to say no to people, but I guess... When it comes to your kids, though, shouldn't you be able to stand up to anybody?
Well,
wouldn't you fight to make sure you kept your kids?
I think it also depends on a social worker and what they're saying. They're saying, like, the best chance for your child to actually have a good life,
yeah,
is with this rich family. I have someone who could be a movie star. You want your kid to be a movie star? Maybe one day.
That's true.
Like, maybe want to work out some sort of deal.
Yeah.
Where, like, you can see him still. And then, oh, you have no dad in the picture. And it's just... You know, probably use emotions against them all the time.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm, like, positive she did that. So Tan also arranged for the taking of children born to inmates at Tennessee mental institutions and those born to wards of the state through her connections. To meet demands, she resorted to kidnappings.
So she's getting more risky.
Oh, yeah. In some cases, single parents would drop their children off at a nursery school, only to be told that welfare agents had taken the children. It is insane to me that children could be taken that easily back then.
Oh, yeah, especially by social workers or anything. Or
yeah.
Like, oh, we got reports that the parents are beating them, so let us take them. Okay. What's your name? Susan. All right, I'll let them know that Susan took them in Social Security, and then let's go meet them. And then, where did my child? I don't know. Susan took him.
Yeah. And others' children would be temporarily placed in an orphanage because a family was experiencing illness or unemployment, only to find out later that the orphanage had adopted them out or had no record of the child ever being placed.
Now, that's kind of messed up.
Yeah. And that's crazy how you could just so easily drop your kid off at an orphanage for, like, a short time. Be like, yeah, can you just, like, babysit them, basically, for, like, a couple months?
Actually, that's kind of was normal, kind of. I mean, like, I got dropped off at camp a lot.
That's not an orphanage, though.
Kind of. They took care of me for, like, 3 weeks at a time.
That's true.
And then, like, it was through the Salvation Army, so it was, like, free for me. Because I was poor. And so...
Because I was poor.
I remember just going there, and there was a lot of criminals that were in juvie that were also placed in the camp, too, at the same time, so they can experience something.
Oh, great.
Air quotes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Imagine little old me
little at Jeffy. A camp
in the middle of the woods 5 hours away from my family. My bunk buddy was a guy who stole a car, wrecked into the wall, and almost killed someone.
So he said, though.
No, that's what I asked the camp counselor, who technically was a parole officer for all of them.
Oh my gosh.
And the other person to my left was...
Christina, we need to have a conversation. Things are starting to line up and make sense to me now.
Yeah, and one of the people, my other punk neighbor,
uh-huh.
He did some unspeakable things to people with his body parts.
That's horrendous.
Yeah, and I experienced something. I don't want to talk about it. Jeffrey! Not to me, though. Not to me. I was just around the room where it happened.
That's so sad.
You can even ask my sister. Like, they threw out all the beds over the ground in the campground, so no one had any beds for some of them.
Oh my gosh.
They went by and, like, steal food. It was pretty fun, but
let's just relive our traumas for everyone else to hear.
The funniest thing. They had archery class.
And with, like, real arrows?
Yes. And no. So there's some... I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I only went there once, and I just saw some kid aim a bow and arrow on another kid, and, like, they had to tackle him.
is horrendous. I'm like,
why would you guys give criminals or, you know, people who are guilty, air quotes, a bow and arrow? But, yeah, whatever. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. Sorry, guys.
Yikes. So... Tan was also documented as taking children born to unwed mothers at birth, claiming that the newborns required medical care. When the mothers asked about their children, Tan or her accomplices would explain that the baby had died when they actually had been placed in foster homes or adopted.
Oh, that's so sad.
Isn't that so messed up? So she was making these poor young mothers think that their children had passed away. They have to grieve their child.
And then not even, like... The mother not even able to see the child. Like,
literally.
Like, at all.
That's horrendous. I guess that's my favorite word this episode.
Horrendous.
Horrendous. Word of the day! Tan destroyed records of the children who were processed through the society and conducted minimal background checks to the adoptive homes. As a result, the Child Welfare League of America dropped the society from its list of qualified institutions in 1941. Many of the files of the children were fictionalized before being presented to the adoptive parents, which covered up the child's circumstances prior to being placed with their society. When an adoptive parent discovered that the information on the child was incorrect, such as in cases of falsified medical histories, Tan often threatened the adoptive parents with possible legal action that would force a surrender of their child. By demonstrating that they were unfit parents. So just using, they're basically bullying people into keeping quiet.
Yeah.
So that's really sad. However, a letter drafted in 1947, Tan's attorney, Abe Walder, said that prospective adoptive couple had complete custody and control of a child for 1 year, may submit the child to any physical or mental examination they wish, and take any steps they may desire to ascertain they have a healthy and normal child. If it is not, the Tennessee Children's Home takes it back without question. Tan's crimes were accomplished with the aid of Memphis Family Court Judge Camille Kelly, who used her position of authority to sanction Tan's tactics and activities. So she had people in high places that she was using as her little pawns.
Yeah. Like normal. That's still the same to this day. Nothing's changed, guys.
Yeah, pretty much. So Tan would identify children as being from homes which could not provide for their care, and Kelly would push the matter through her dockets. Kelly also severed custody of divorced mothers, placing the children with Tan, who then arranged for adoption of the children into homes better able to provide for the children's care. So, forcibly removing the kids from their parents after a divorce, which that is not their right or their place to make that judgment or call at all. However, many of the children were placed into homes where they were used as child labor on farms or with abusive families.
Hey, kid, go get me some carrots. Go farm. Go get me some carrots. But I don't wanna. Too bad. Do it.
Go milk the cows. Milk old Bessie. Bypassing Shelby County Probate Court, most of the adoption cases were handled in the counties of Dyer, Haywood, and Hardiman. Hardiman? Whatever. Tan also had connections with former Memphis, Tennessee Mayor E.H. Boss Crump, who continued to have an influential political presence until his death. He had long been known to take bribes from unlawful establishments, e.g. brothels and gambling halls, a fact with Tan used to her advantage. So she blackmailed him into helping her as well. She enjoyed a lavish lifestyle and was wildly respected in the community, counting among her friends, prominent families, politicians, and legislatures. While in her care, Tan mistreated the children with reports of neglect, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and murder. With no housing facilities, the society held children awaiting placement in public facilities and foster homes. In 1930, Memphis had the highest infant mortality rate in the nation, largely due to Tan. So she's not even taking good care of these kids that she's banking all this freaking money on. She's literally the worst of the worst. If you can sit there and just manipulate people who are in a vulnerable position, like those mothers who are single, or if you can use a child to your advantage the way that she used them, you're trash.
She was the original Jeffrey Epstein.
Pretty
for now. From back in this time. She's the Jeffrey Epstein of that time.
Kind of. Probably worse.
No.
They're worse in their own ways.
I think they're all worse.
They're all bad.
They're all scum. They're all caca.
Pretty much. Caca.
They're all caca.
There we go.
Who's worse, her or Gurkaka?
Gur. Oh, that's tough. What was that laugh?
All right, go ahead, Kaylee.
In 1943, a wealthy businessman donated the mansion at 1556 Popular Avenue to the society. The officers and intake rooms were put on the bottom floor, while the nurseries were upstairs. The all-female staff wore all-white nursing uniforms, despite the fact that they were mostly untrained and even substance abusers. So she was hiring just anybody off the street, essentially. The children were frequently sedated, and those who were difficult to place were allowed to die of malnutrition.
Great. Wonderful. That's wonderful. So, get my shotgun. Kayla, get the gun.
That's terrible.
That's terrible.
Okay. Tan regularly ignored doctors' recommendations for sick children, denying them care or medicine, which often led to preventable deaths from illnesses such as diarrhea.
Imagine dying from diarrhea.
I wish. I'm just kidding.
That's what you get when you eat cheese.
That's what happens. I feel like I'm... But that's...
That's sad. Just like, oh, I have the sniffles. Don't worry about it. And then the kid dies. Oh, well. Just give him some medicine.
Yeah.
Take care of the diarrhea. Just take care of basic stuff. She doesn't even understand the concept of taking care of your product. If she was really good at her job.
Yeah.
If she really wanted to sell these kids, she should have been taking care of them.
But it was often the ones that, like, were difficult to place. So people that didn't, or children that were basically just taking up space.
Yeah.
In her eyes. If they weren't adoptable, then they were, you know, just a nuisance to her. So... Well, some of her victims are known to be buried in the Elwood Cemetery in Memphis, Tennessee. Other children were never accounted for, and the exact number of deceased children remains unknown, with estimates of about 500 deaths due to mistreatment. So that's 500 children.
That's a lot. Why? Why people?
For no reason, essentially. Because she couldn't make a buck off them. So at the time, the so-called black market adoptions were not illegal, but were considered ethically and morally wrong, so at least they could agree with that. Reasons of the day included the fact that young unwed mothers were often coerced to give up their unwanted children. The suitability of parents were often hastily ignored. Information about the child's heritage and medical history was lost, and adoptive parents were unaware of any physical or mental illnesses. The Tennessee governor of the time, Gordon Browning, launched an investigation into the society on September 11th of 1950 after receiving reports that the agency was selling children for profit. So finally, in 1950, it took over 10 years or about 10 years for them to catch up to things.
This governor's like, someone's making a lot of money from kids and I'm not getting any of it.
Exactly.
Shut it down.
The Tennessee governor of the time, Gordon Browning, he assisted Memphis attorney Robert Taylor to the case. Public Welfare Commissioner J.O. McMahon accused Han and her cohorts of receiving as much as $1 million in profits. The Tennessee Children's Home Society was closed in 1950.
So I was right with the $1 million. Wow, yeah. That was a good guess.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Tan adopted Hollinsworth on August 2nd of 1943 in Dyer County, Tennessee, a legal provision that same-sex couples used at the time to ensure that their partners would inherit their property. Tan died in 1950 and was buried in her family's plot in Hickory Cemetery. She died of cancer, carcinosis, primary location uterus, according to Dr. Alma Richards on death certificate on September 15th of 1950, 3 days before Governor Gordon Browning of Tennessee filed charges against Tan's home.
That's kind of ironic how she got
exactly
cancer.
She died right before. And then the home was also permanently closed in December of 1950. So.
Good.
And then I do have this quick little tidbit of some of the aftermath of all of that. In 1990, the Los Angeles Times published the story of Alma Sipple. Her daughter Irma had been taken by Georgia Tan under the pretense of providing medical care. But a few days later, Tan informed Sipple that her daughter had died of pneumonia and already been buried. So Sipple was devastated by her grief, but suspected the child was still alive. Her efforts to find her daughter at the time, however, were fruitless. Years later, in 1989, she just so happened to be watching Unsolved Mysteries and recognized Georgia Tan as the woman who had taken her child. So as the show suggested, she wrote Tennessee's Rights to Know, a volunteer agency in Memphis that reunites families separated by adoption. They soon found Irma, whose name was Sandra Kimbrell, and the mother and daughter reunited by phone.
Aww.
Isn't that so cute?
That is.
She so never some gave of the up. Yeah, and some of the families were actually able to be reunited. So that's kind of a heartwarming, fuzzy, good feeling for the end of it.
And now we can dig up the evil lady's body, crush her bones, and throw her into the wind.
That's a little rough, but sure.
That's what she deserves.
It is what she deserves. Isn't that... I was going to say horrendous again, but I feel like I've said that a lot this episode.
That's the word of the day. Horrendous Tennessee. Even though I actually don't think
Tennessee is that bad. Tumultuous. I can't talk. I cannot talk today.
Tennessee actually isn't that bad. Just this person was bad.
I don't think I've ever been to Tennessee.
Are you from Tennessee? Get it. I said this joke already. Already. Repeat.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Kaylee. Is that it?
Yeah, that's actually it.
Ooh.
So it is a little bit of a shorter episode this week, but that's okay.
Yes, but do you have a weird law for us?
I do. I got one. So in Tennessee, when you pull up to a stop sign, you must fire a gun out the window to warn horse carriages that you are coming.
I don't know if that one's true or not. I don't think
it's true, but it's probably not upheld.
I don't think it's upheld. What if you shoot at
just the... because something's absurd doesn't mean it's like, I mean, just because, what am I trying to say? It doesn't need to be real or not real. What am I trying to say? It's probably real You always say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, it's probably in place. It's just not being, like, pursued. Implemented. Implemented. That's the word I'm looking for.
I'm pretty sure.
I can't talk today, guys. I'm so sorry. I probably sounded, like, really worn out. It's because I am. Yeah. I'm exhausted.
I'm here.
It's really hard for me to record on weekdays. I know I sound like a whiny baby sissy lala, but it is what it is. So I'm sorry. We'll try and record on
a weekend
next time.
You forgot what weekdays are and weekends are?
I don't know. I forgot everything. I forgot my name. I need to go shower and go to bed. So
anyway, how can you find us, Kaylee? Quick, tell us. How can you find us?
Also, Jeff and I got engaged. But if you wanted to email us... I don't have to leave it in there.
What?
What?
When did this happen? How can you find us?
UnitedStatesOfHorror@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/UnitedStatesOfHorror. Instagram is @UnitedStatesOfHorror. TikTok, Twitter, @USOfHorror.
Spotify,
iHeartRadio.
Anchor.
You know, all that good stuff.
Yeah, leave a like, reviews. Comments, shares, everything.
Send us your thoughts, your heartwarming feelings. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm tired.
Share your stories for next week's episode.
Yeah.
Send your personal stories. Anyway, Jeff here.
Kaylee here.
We are.
United States of Horror.
Yes, we're the best.
Yes, we're the best ever. All right.
Bye, guys.
Okay, fine. Bye.
Bye. Enjoy your day.
Bye. Enjoy your day.
Bye.
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 Stop.
Bye.
Stop.
I can't.
Stop.
Help! I can't do
it. What are you doing?